Hello, and welcome back to another Cosmic Connections episode of Grief with Grace. I haven't done one of these in a couple of episodes, so I'm excited about this. A couple of days ago, we had the full moon in Virgo, and this was the last full moon of this astrological year because the new astrological year begins next month on March 19th, late in the evening, like 11:06 or 11:08 p.m. Eastern time, I think. And that's when the sun moves into the sign of Aries, which is the first sign of the zodiac. So we begin the new astrological year a little less than a month from now on March 19th. And even though this episode is going to come out a couple of days after the full moon, we're still in the energies of that full moon. Also, this full moon really opened the portal to the upcoming eclipse season, which makes it really, really potent. And I'm doing this episode to help you prepare for and really navigate the next couple of months because there are some things going on that are so important that they deserve a conversation. Welcome to Grief with Grace, the podcast for women healing from loss, trauma, and grief, or who know there's more to life but aren't sure what it is or where to find it. Whatever brought you here, you are not alone. I'm your hostess, Lori Latimer, soul navigator, mystic, intuitive, bereaved mom, and grief and trauma guide. Recreating my own life after a divorce in 2008 and going on to create and live a life I'd only dreamed of after that, I found myself on a new healing journey after my 29-year-old son unexpectedly left this life in January of 2019. So I invite you to grab a journal, a cup of tea, light a candle and get cozy, and allow yourself to be seen, held, soothed, and inspired on your journey to wholeness. Blending the practical with the spiritual, each week my guests and I will inspire you to connect with who you are at soul level so you can find moments of joy in the everyday. Because even on the darkest days, there is joy if you know how and where to look for it. So I want you to remember as we go through this that full moons are when the sun and the moon are opposite each other in the sky. And so the sun is fully illuminating the moon. That's when the moon is at its biggest and brightest in the sky. When this happens each month, it's an invitation to see what's being illuminated in the sign the moon is in that's ready to be shifted and released within our own lives. What's outdated, what no longer serves us. The moon will illuminate that if you ask to be shown, if you tap into your intuition, if you tap into the energies of the full moon. And with Virgo, since this full moon was in Virgo, because the sun is in Pisces, and the full moon always happens in the sign opposite where the sun is. And so Pisces and Virgo are opposite on the zodiac wheel. So the full moon was in Virgo. Virgo is an earth sign. It's also a very feminine sign. And so Virgo is represented by the archetype of the priestess. She asks us to really step more powerfully into our sovereignty so that we can be of deeper and more valuable service to others. Because if we aren't healthy ourselves, we can't really be of service to other people, not to the level that we can if we are healing ourselves as we move along our life path. So Virgo also, she's very body aware, very body conscious. She brings consciousness to us about our physical bodies, things like our daily routines and habits. She's also very practical. Now, in her lower frequencies, she can be the hypochondriac, the perfectionist. She can also be filled with a lot of nervousness and anxiety, but she is the healer, and she works with things like herbs and potions and tinctures and oils and all of those good things. So with the full moon being in Virgo, this is the time to look at your daily habits, your routines, see what's supporting you and what isn't. How are you nourishing yourself? That's also a super important question to ask yourself when working with Virgo energy of any kind, because she's all about nourishing ourselves. What can you release that is no longer supporting you? And then when you are aware of what you can release that no longer supports you, then ask yourself, what habits and rituals can you cultivate that will support and nourish you? So, you know, each sign is ruled by a different planet or
asteroid. Virgo is ruled by Mercury and also by Chiron. And we'll talk more about Chiron in a minute. But remember, Mercury is the messenger god, and he represents our thoughts and communications. So this is a really important time to look at what thoughts no longer serve you. Is there a way that you can communicate that needs, or that you are communicating that needs to shift in order to bring more healing to your life? I'm thinking right now of an example might be asking for what you need instead of just expecting others to just know what you need. I used to be really good at that, at just expecting everybody to understand what I wanted and needed. And with more introspection and learning more about myself and about astrology and so many other things, doing all the healing I've done over the last, 15 years now, I realized that people can't read my mind. Why should they? I have to speak up for myself. So I had to release the idea that, and the belief that people should just automatically know what I wanted and needed, and start communicating in a different way. So that's just a quick example you might be able to relate to. Now, as I said, the sun is in the sign of Pisces. Pisces is a sign of, it's a water sign. It's all about deep introspection, spirituality, the psychic realm. And with the moon in Virgo, we're being asked to bring our psychic and spiritual gifts from the heavens, from the cosmos, down to the earth and ground them into our daily lives. We cannot do that if our physical life is cluttered. So again, what needs to be decluttered and released on all levels, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual? So our bodies, what we put in and on them, our thoughts, back to Mercury. This moon is illuminating the thoughts which have become our beliefs that are not for our highest and best good. Emotions. Are you vibrating at a lower frequency that's holding you back in life? And then spiritual, especially during Pisces season, and people with heavy Pisces placements, I find tend to want to spend a lot of their time in the spiritual realm. Nothing wrong with that. You know, meditating and visualizing and, you know, that dreamy, it's a very appealing and enticing place to be, right? Because that often feels much better than the you-know-what show that we're living here on Earth. But are you taking action, which is required as a human? So just some things to contemplate, to maybe journal on, maybe, you know, sit with and ask your higher self about what in all those areas are you doing that you could either release or shift so that they will support you and help you now and in the future. But Pisces season is also a time for reflection. Reflection on all of these things, to tap into your dreams, to allow your higher self, your intuition, to reveal to you what's ready to be released so that you can manifest your dreams. And then in a few weeks, when we move into Aries season, that's when we take action. But we aren't there yet. We're still in the dreaming and illuminating phase of all of this and reflecting. So I mentioned Chiron a minute ago, and I want to talk about one more thing. I mean, there's so many things going on right now in the cosmos, but I wanted to synthesize it and hit, you know, the full moon energies and what I'm going to talk about next, because right now I feel those are the most critical things to be aware of, because they're going to have some long-lasting effects on us. So the next thing that I want to talk about is, a few days ago, Chiron and the North Node came together exactly at 16 degrees of Aries. Now, if you're not familiar with Chiron, I'll give you a really brief explanation of Chiron, or story of Chiron, history of Chiron. Again, this is, you know, all based in mythology, but Chiron was the son of Saturn. And I won't go into the whole story. You can look it up online if you want to, but trust me, what I'm going to share with you is going to give you enough of a flavor of it that you will understand it. So he was the son of Saturn, but he was born a centaur, which means that the upper half of his body was human and the lower half was a horse, except that his two front legs were human. Because he was a centaur, he, and I won't go into why that happened, but he was abandoned by his mother. And the god Apollo found him and took him in and raised him. So Apollo taught him, you know, Apollo is the god of the arts and creativity. So Apollo taught Chiron about healing and music and the arts. Chiron learned about archery and hunting from Apollo's twin sister Artemis, who is the goddess of the hunt. Now, there's part of the story goes that Chiron created the medical arts and things like pharmacy and surgery, but he became a teacher of all of these healing arts and modalities. And that's why he's a co-ruler of the sign of Virgo, because Virgo is about healing along with Mercury. So long story short, Chiron was shot by Hercules by a poison arrow. It didn't kill him, but the poison circulated all throughout his entire body, leaving him in really horrific and tremendous pain. And this incredible, master healer, teacher, wasn't able to heal himself. So Chiron in the sky is not a planet, it's an asteroid. And what he represents for us is our karmic wounding, wounds that we carry with us from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime that we are here to heal. We, I don't believe, ever heal all of this wound, but we can heal pieces of it by becoming more aware of our wound. And so our Chiron wound is, it's that thing that holds us back or pulls us back when we do start moving forward. Like, okay, wait a minute, you want to go here, but have you done the next piece of your healing work? Again, not the entirety of it, but have you done the next piece of it that will allow you to move forward without sabotaging you? This karmic wound becomes our greatest gift when we see the wound, when we become aware of it, when we acknowledge it, when we work with it, and when we alchemize it. And when it doesn't become our excuse, because we humans are great at making excuses, right? And when it doesn't become so debilitating that we do not move forward on our path. And like I said, Pisces season is a time for deep internal reflection and introspection. So something you could do during this time to try to begin to maybe get a glimpse at what your specific wound is to look back over your life. See if you can identify any themes or patterns or a thread that you can follow that might illuminate your wounding. Or you could schedule a karmic soul astrology reading with me where we can find your specific Chiron placement by sign and by house to see what your particular wounding is. It's what your soul is calling you to heal at a deeper level so that you don't have to keep repeating it at the level and intensity that you might currently be. I know I talk a lot about the signs. I don't talk a lot about the houses. I'm going to do an episode on those, but suffice it to say, very generally, the houses, so you have the wheel, and the wheel is broken up into 12 sections. Each section represents an area of life. So the first house is going to have it's going to have a different area of life than the third house or the ninth house. So again, I'll do an episode about that probably within the next month. But for right now, that's all you need to know about houses. But the thing about our Chiron wound is that it's usually hidden from us. It's hidden and buried so deep within us and within our karma that we can't see it. It's very subtle. It's not something we're usually conscious of. Again, a karmic soul astrology reading will illuminate it for you and give you insight so that you can reflect back over your life to see where it has manifested in your life, where it has affected you in your life. And then that awareness you can carry forward with you so that when you encounter it in the future, you can say, oh, wait a minute, that's that wound. I can either use it as an excuse, or I can try to alchemize a piece of it and allow it to help me move forward by healing that piece of it. Last week, Chiron met up with the North Node in the sign of Aries. Now, talked about Chiron. What is the North Node? The North Node is like our guiding light or our North Star. It's where we're heading, what our soul is calling us toward in this life. Our soul chose when and where we were born based on where the North Node was at that moment, because it wanted us to have that as our guiding light in this lifetime. So we each have our own individual North Star and Chiron placements within our birth charts, but they're always moving around in the sky, affecting humanity as a whole. like I said, Chiron's an asteroid. The North Node is not a planet or an asteroid. It is a, it's a mathematical point between the sun and the moon. Again, I was terrible in math. I don't understand how it's calculated. That's way beyond my zone of genius. All I know is it's a mathematical point between where the sun and the moon are at any given moment in time. What you need to remember is that it's where we are heading as individuals and as a collective. And so with both Chiron and the Wounded Healer and the North Node, our guiding light, being together in the sign of Aries, this is all about healing our collective identity so that we can move toward our collective North Star. Aries reflects our identity. So that's where I'm getting that piece from. So you see how they kind of start to fit together? But what do we need to heal as a collective to be able to move forward toward our collective North Star? Also, something I wanted to remember to mention is with Pluto in Aquarius, just having moved into Aquarius, there's going to be, there's no way around this. There's going to be a destruction of our collective identity and then an invitation to go within and reevaluate who we are as a society. Where have we as individuals given our power away to institutions, governments, corporations? We are now at a time in history. And remember, Pluto hasn't been in Aquarius for 245 or 48 years. The last time Pluto was in Aquarius, we had things like the French Revolution and the American Revolution. And so we are now being asked to reclaim our power, to reclaim our sovereignty from those outside organizations. And if you're paying any attention at all, whether you live in the United States or not, you're definitely seeing this playing out in the United States. And this year in November, when we have our presidential election, I think that's going to be a pivotal time for the United States as well as humanity as a whole, because like it or not, I'm not saying it's right or wrong or whatever. It really just is. But the United States is kind of like the world looks to the United States for inspiration and guidance in a lot of ways. I think that used to be something that was beneficial to the world. I live in the United States, and I'm sad to say I don't think that is any longer the case. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with society and government as Pluto continues to move through Aquarius, bumps back into Capricorn, which is all about structures and government and organization, when we have the election in November. You know, a really good question that just is coming through for you to journal on right now is, who are you at your core? Not who the world told you to be, but who are you at your essence? Your personal Chiron wound and your North Node will help you uncover this. Because, and I say this a lot, and I know this to be true, we cannot help heal humanity or help humanity move forward toward our collective North Node if we are not doing our own individual healing work. And that is why a personal karmic astrology reading is so beneficial to us as individuals and then to humanity as a whole. Because if I am not actively aware of and working to heal my Chiron wound as an individual, then anything that I do to try to help the collective is going to be met with potholes and detours and pulling me back to my own Chiron wounding that needs to be healed before I can help heal the collective. And my North Node is in Virgo, so I am here to be a healer. We have to each be doing our own healing work before we can help heal humanity. You know, it's like what just came through is that, you know, I'm sure we've all flown on airplanes, right? And what do they tell you? If there's a drop in cabin pressure, put your own oxygen mask on before you help any, before you put someone else's mask on. Because if you pass out from lack of oxygen, you can't help anybody, whether it's your child or your elderly mother or your spouse or, you know, a stranger sitting next to you. You're not going to be any help to anybody else if you pass out and die from lack of oxygen. And so you must be working on your own individual healing, which again is specific to you based on when and where you were born before you will ever have any real lasting significant effect on healing humanity and this planet. And I think we're at a critical time where we are all being called to do that because humanity and this planet are on a bad path. You know, what's gone on over the last, 12, 15 years, we're in a downward spiral. And we need people to become aware of their own wounds and their own North Stars so that as individuals, you know, it's like puzzle pieces. You need all the puzzle pieces to fit together. If any of the pieces are missing because they're not doing their own healing work and don't know what their true path is, it's just a jumbled mess. Also, I want to talk a little bit about something coming up. This full moon opened the portal to the upcoming eclipse season. So the first eclipse is the lunar eclipse that happens on March 25th. Let this Virgo full moon energy illuminate the things you need to release before that lunar eclipse, because lunar eclipses close doors. That's why this full moon is extra potent and extra important. And it's imperative that we each let that moon illuminate what's ready to be released so that we can close some doors when the lunar eclipse happens on March 25th, which is like a month from now. Yeah, a month from now. And then right after that, on April 8th, which it happens to be my middle grandson's 13th birthday, which I think is like such an auspicious day now, solar eclipses open doors. New pathways. So you have to close some old doors to be able to make way and make space for the new doors to open. So again, the solar eclipse is going to happen on April 8th. And that eclipse is going to amplify and intensify this. Well, and so is the lunar eclipse. This eclipse season is going to amplify and intensify this Chiron North Node dance. Because while they were exactly at 16 degrees of Aries together on, I think it was February 19th, so a week ago, they're going to stay very close together for a couple of months. I don't know the exact date that they'll move far enough apart, but their energies are going to be blended together for a good couple of, two or three months. I think until May, maybe even early June. And so with all of this, with them being so close together during eclipse season, there is so much potent and powerful healing energies and opportunities available to us. And they may be uncomfortable because usually anything that helps us grow and evolve and heal is going to be uncomfortable. It's just the way we're wired. It's the way humanity was created. We don't do things in the easy, good times. We do them when times are hard, when our back is up against a wall, when we are on the floor, on our knees, begging God for help and mercy and direction. That's when our biggest healing opportunities are presented to us. But we have to be open, and we have to be, again, aware of our own specific, unique wounding to be able to see in any given experience, what piece of my wounding can I heal through this experience? Maybe not right at that moment when you're going through it. Allow yourself to go through it. But then when you're far enough on the other side of it, you can look back and say, okay, what piece of my karmic wounding is that asking me or inviting me to heal? Because again, I don't believe we heal at all. I don't believe we're ever completely healed, ever. Not in this lifetime, not in any lifetime, until our soul decides, okay, I've done it. I've done what I wanted to do on this planet. Now maybe we'll go to some other planet or asteroid or galaxy or something. I don't know. So while the North Node and Chiron are in Aries right now, for all of us, we need to be aligned on our own North Node path, doing our individual healing work through our particular Chiron wound so that we can then assist the collective and humanity on its healing path. I think that's all for this episode. That feels complete. I would love to hear from you. What insights you had from this, what experiences you might be having right now as we go through this, the full moon in Aries, in Virgo, and moving into the eclipse portal. And if you would like a karmic soul astrology reading so that you can find out what your specific Chiron wound is and what your North Node is, where they are in your chart, again, to see what area of life you're being called to work with, where this is going to affect you the most, schedule your karmic soul astrology reading with me. I'll pop a link in the show notes because I don't even remember what it is right now. I have so many different things going on with I've got my website, I've got my calendar thing. Anyway, I'll put it in the show notes. And if you have any questions, if this sparked any ideas within you, if it sparked any awarenesses within you, email me and let me know, because I love to have these conversations with you. If you want more information about anything that I shared in this episode, email me if you're curious about any of it that I didn't cover that you would like me to cover and explain in more detail. Email me. Like I said, I am going to do an episode on the houses so that you understand the different areas of life that are covered on the zodiac wheel, because it makes such a difference. If you have your moon in the first house, it's going to signify something completely different than if you have your moon in, say, the fourth house or the eighth house. So, all right, that's it for this week. I wish you a beautiful week, and I look forward to sharing more with you about this and so many other things. I'm getting close to a huge shift with the podcast. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to happen. I'm kind of letting my guides and my teams in the spiritual realm help me with that and guide me. But it's coming up soon, and I'm excited about it. So until next time, as always, I am sending you so much love, light, beauty, and grace.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Grief with Grace. Please be sure to like our Grief with Grace podcast Facebook page and find me on Instagram at @Lori_Latimer. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts, so that you receive a reminder when new episodes are uploaded. And please leave a rating and review so I can continue to bring you new content and new interviews each week. If you find this podcast valuable, and I really hope you do, please be sure to share it with a woman who could use some inspiration in her life and on her journey. Until next time, I invite you to find a moment of joy today and every day.